Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
And we welcome you to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez alongside Gary D'Amato. And it is all of a sudden the jaws of winter that have gripped the state of Wisconsin. And my friend Gary D'Amato, the nice thing about living in a warm climate now is that I'm here and I'm almost always here except when I come back to cover tournaments in the summer. And for me, I'm eager to get back because it's starting to get hot here in Arizona. But boy, going from Hawaii back to Wisconsin and just in time for about 20 inches of snow over a 6-day span, that had to be tough.
Well, the tougher part, Rob, is what's happened since the snow, and that's the temperature plummeting. I mean, it is just brutal outside right now here. Wind chills 25, 30, in some places 35 below zero. And the temperature, when I went out and started my car this morning, my car said it was minus six below zero. So I don't mind shoveling snow. I mean, if it's going to be 30 degrees or warmer, I can handle that. But boy, these temperatures, the last thing on my mind right now is golf around here, Rob.
I can only imagine. And it's funny because, you know, there were some people that in most parts of the state, actually, that, you know, as they were posting their pictures of what they were shoveling out of and the drifts on their house and what they were seeing out their window, you know, were remarking that, you know, many of them had grass visible, you know, a week, maybe 10 days, 14 days earlier. And I mean, now all of a sudden, we've got that covering it's going to take some to go away.
Oh yeah, and I've been thinking a little bit about those. Sometimes there's a few guys in Wisconsin who have streaks going where they play at least one round of golf in every month, and some yep. guys have played for 80 consecutive months or whatever it is. I'll tell you what, if you didn't get around in those first few days of January, good luck trying to get one in the rest of the month, because I don't think it's going to happen with all this snow and the cold temperatures. It's not looking good.
And I got to give a shout out to our listeners and our friends on the Wisconsin Golfers Facebook page. Even when the snow started falling, they were asking each other, any courses open, you know? And for a long time, there were. I mean, you know, a lot of the Southern Tier courses that stay open a long time, I think even Morningstar was open for a bit. But, for sure, Evergreen and Ives Grove and the one down in Salem, Spring Valley, you know, those that almost never close, they've got no choice now, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, you could technically probably, if you wanted to, go to Spring Valley and try to tee up a golf ball, but I don't think you'd get much enjoyment out of the game right now, Rob, because they never close. I don't know if you'd find someone in the golf shop right now either. David Wagner, who owns the course, I'm sure he's not there today. But you're not going to be able to play golf around here for a while.
Well, you know it's cold. You know it's snowy when a lot of the golf courses that have their Friday fish fries are even closing up and not offering those like they was the case this last Friday. And my hunch is they really don't want anybody on the greens. Those that haven't already applied the protection coating of whatever it is, those superintendents. We'll have to ask Mike Davis what that substance is that, once they put it on, it's got to stay there through the winter. But it is time to maybe regroup. It is time to watch some golf on TV. It's time to we'll also look ahead. You're going down to the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, and it's a time to look at maybe evaluate your equipment. I spent shop credit last week, Gary, on new grips for five of my golf clubs. And then when I started swinging them in the second round of this President's Cup tournament we're doing down here. And it was night and day different. I didn't realize how much I was gripping my driver just trying to hold on to it because I could feel it slipping. And now with new grips, this is the time of year to do that stuff.
It is. Yeah. This is the perfect time of year to regrip your clubs. And you're right. Sometimes you forget the simplest things about changing your clubs every couple, 3 years, depending on how much you play and how you take care of your clubs. But there's a big difference between trying to grip a real slick grip and one that is tackified and has a really nice tacky substance to it that you can lighten your grip and maybe swing a little better. So I guess we're sending out a reminder to golfers this winter to get their clubs regripped. That's the moral of the story.
And I think the guys in the shop would prefer to do it this time of year than have a lot of clubs sitting around waiting to be regripped during times when they could be given lessons, being out on the course with playing lessons. And so, put that on your to-do list here as we enter the mid part of January here in 2024. I think what we're going to do is go back to Hawaii before I ask for sympathy about the hour-long frost delays we had the last two or three times I've played golf here in Arizona. So let's go back to Hawaii. You were at the Century. We're now two tournaments into the PGA Tour schedule. The Hawaii swing is done. They're going to Palm Springs this weekend. You know, as you look back on your time on the island, what was the, give us some of the highlights. What did you enjoy? And give us maybe a glimpse into, you know, what, you know, as you look back, you know, again, Century's involvement in golf to start out the year has been pretty significant.
It really is. Their whole involvement on the island of Maui with the fires that happened in Lahaina and basically burned that town to the ground. Century has really done a great job focusing awareness on the recovery effort there in Lahaina. And, you know, not only spending their own dollars to help with that recovery effort, but recruiting others and other businesses have joined in, and players even at the Century were, you know, donating $2,000 for a birdie or $5,000 for an eagle. So a lot of money was raised, but it was just such a good 10 days, Rob, on the island. You know, the tournament was fun. Chris Kirk winning was a great story because of what he's overcome in terms of alcoholism and depression. And, but the highlight for me was playing in the Pro-Am on Wednesday with Siwoo Kim and Cameron Young. That was fun stuff. And, I wish I had a little bit better golf game, Rob, but it was still fun playing with those guys and picking up a few tips along the way.
Obviously the tour moved then from, the Century over to the Sony Open in Hawaii last weekend. Grayson Murray wins in a playoff over Ben Ahn and Keegan Bradley. I tell you, Keegan Bradley just won't go away. He had a great year last year and was kind of reinvented himself. But, you know, really a cool story of Grayson Murray, you know, a guy who, you know, all these guys are playing where they can to try to, you know, move up the ranks. And, you know, I think Grayson Murray's had his share of ups and downs. To win in a playoff and needing to, you know, kind of gut it out. I think he needed a birdie on 18 yesterday to get into that playoff. Says a lot about him. And again, we've got so many people on this tour capable of winning, and Grayson Murray gets it done here in the second event of the year.
Yeah, that was a really cool story. You know, the last two winners, now the first two winners of 2024, both have overcome some substance abuse problems. Both tournaments in Hawaii were really cool. The finishes, the way they finished, and the winners, two really good stories and gives us a lot of momentum and impetus for the coming weeks. We've got the PGA Tour Champion season starting in Hawaii, right this week. How do you pronounce that, Rob? Is it Hualalai?
Hualalai.
Well, okay.
Yes. Yep. So, and we'll talk in a second about our local guys. But I also wanted to touch on, Carl Yawn, finished T4 at, the Sony, and he got in, because he got into the top 125 after John Rahm, was removed from last year's money list after going to LIV Golf. And he comes up with the final round 63 and a T4 finish. But, where did, I know for a while, we had, Stuart Sink, was in the mix, 67, 65 to open, but a pair of 69s to finish. He drops to T24 despite being 10 under. He was the only guy that, is, senior tour status that was actually in the tournament this year. And, I still think he's going to be a threat to Stricker and Langer and, Padraig Harrington, Stephen Elker. He didn't play a lot last year on the senior circuit, but he's going to start out in Hawaii this year. How do you forecast a guy that goes 10 under in the Sony Open in Hawaii maybe translating now to this week, Gary?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right about him being a threat this year if he plays a lot on the Champions Tour. I know he's one of those guys who still wants to play some on the PGA Tour. A lot of those guys who still have really a lot of game when they turn 50 want to try to strike a balance between the two tours. But if he does play a lot on the Champions Tour, he's going to be a force, Rob. I mean, he's still a big, strong guy who hits it a long way. And, if he can handle 7,500-yard courses, think what he's going to do on 7,100-yard courses or shorter as they are on the Champions Tour. So if he plays a lot, you know, Steve and the rest of the guys are really going to have to be on their games, I think, to hold him off. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. He only turned 50 last May, so he didn't even, miss the early part of the Champions Tour season. But to your point, I mean, going back to, the end of the 22 season when they still had the wraparound, I mean, he played a lot on the PGA Tour and really, including the Open Championship where, he's won, played the U.S. Open, the Memorial, so there's a lot of, tournaments where he's eligible for. The money, you really can't turn down that. If he can get into the designated events, I think that's the carrot, isn't it, Gary? I mean, as we segue into Steve Stricker, we've talked before about the fact that, his major championships, two of them on the senior circuit last year, get him into PGA Tour events this year. It's going to be hard, though, I think, for these guys to get other starts, though. And that might be the one thing that keeps them more on the PGA Tour champions is there's so few opportunities with the reduced fields and the designated events for the guys who are, like Grayson Murray and like, Chris Kirk, these guys, need those starts and they may not be getting, there may not be as many exemptions available to guys like Stricker and Kelly.
No, and I know, the rank and file guys on the PGA Tour, a lot of them are really upset about the direction the tour is going. And you can understand it. I mean, Liv was poaching some of the best players on the PGA Tour, and the tour had to go on the defensive and try to prevent some of that. And so this idea of significant events with huge purses, limited fields, no cuts, that's very appealing to obviously the top players in the game, but not so much to the guy who's, 100th on the money list and can't get into some of those events. And you can understand it. I mean, the tour is worried about losing sponsors over everything that's happening and the increase, the amount of money they're asking now from title sponsors. And those title sponsors, in the past haven't been guaranteed the best fields. And now, the title sponsors of those big events are guaranteed the best fields. So I can understand why it's going that way, but I can also understand why the guys from, 71 to 150 on the money list, a lot of those guys are really upset.
I think the PGA Tour is, in a way, almost set itself up to fail because they had to pour so much money in the designated events, and they're they've had to take care of their marquee players in reaction to what Liv has done. But, the elephant in the room, Gary, because we've watched a lot of the Wisconsin mini tour golfers and talked to them, there isn't a lot of money on the Korn Ferry Tour, on the what's now the PGA Tour Americas. In fact, after, travel and hotel expenses and the like, paying caddies, a lot of the times it's a break-even proposition, and you hope you have enough money to go back to Q school in the fall. I think now we're faced with a situation where you're going to have more opposite field events to appease the rank and file from, number 41 down to, number 125 and below. People that have technically PGA Tour status. It's a lot like, I think this is more like what the LPGA has faced, because when Casey Danielson and others, Alyssa Farrell, when she gained status, they found it very hard to, get into events on the LPGA Tour with status. And then, there was such a huge learning curve that they weren't able to make money to retain their status. I think we're seeing that element kind of, come home to roost now on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and I think Rory McIlroy is right when he says, in time, in the not too distant future, there's going to be a world tour that is basically based in the U.S. with most of the events in the U.S., but, maybe a 22 to 25 event tour in which 10 or 12 events will be played in the U.S. and the other 10 will be played around the world.
Yeah.
And then that's when you need feeder tours and a Corn Ferry tour and these other tours so that there's a place for those guys that you're talking about to play. And I think the tour's headed in that direction. For the good or bad of the game, I think that's the way it's headed.
Well, it appears they haven't necessarily touched the PGA Tour champions. I don't see, you know, a lot of purses increasing, but you see now a lot of, you know, fresh faces start to come out onto the PGA Tour champions. But, you know, like Stuart Sink last year, as we look at the Mitsubishi Electric Championship at Hawaii, that's a mouthful. Let's start with Steve Stricker, Gary. He played as much last year as he's played in the last, you know, number of years, and played a lot, you know, more on the PGA Tour champions than he ever has. How do you expect Steve to come out here in 2024, you know, based on the fact that maybe he didn't quite get the amount of, you know, rest and relaxation, you know, that he normally gets? You know, I think his hunting season was compromised a little bit by the, you know, both the father-daughter, the PNC Championship and the World Champions Cup. But, you know, he also played, he intended to play, you know, at the Charles Schwab Cup Championship and played in, you know, deep into the year. You know, the illness to his dad, you know, kept him from coming to Phoenix. What are your thoughts on expectations for Stricker coming off of such a great year?
Still really high expectations, Rob, I'm sure they are for Steve himself. You know, he went out of the gate. He won this tournament, season opening tournament last year, right out of the gate. But you're right. He had probably a longer rest and relaxation than he had this year. I'd be interested to know. I'm sure he's been in, Florida for several weeks, and I'd be interested to know how hard he's been working on his game. My guess is he's been working on it pretty hard, and I'd be surprised if he didn't play well. Not say he's going to defend and win again, but I'd be shocked if he, you know, didn't have a top 15 finish, I guess. How do you look at it?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, he looks and acts. I mean, I think that there was a little bit of, you know, revving up that had to happen at the PNC Championship, when he played with Izzy. And, once he got going, he was good. I thought he had a solid, World Champions Cup. You know, and those are, you know, not necessarily events that you gauge someone on, but, you know, I felt like, you know, especially coming off the illness that, you know, back in, you know, what is it, start of 2022, you know, I mean, he never seemed to tire. And I think that's an indication of the time that he spends in the gym and just, you know, enough to, you know, keep his body in great shape for a guy who's going to be turning, what, 57 soon? Is that right?
Yeah, I believe in about 5-6 weeks. Yep.
Yeah, and so I think, yeah, so I think he's going to be the, you know, the guy that, you know, that everyone looks to. But, you know, as Bernhard Langer showed with his son at the PNC and at the U.S. Senior Open, I mean, he's the all-time winningest golfer for a reason. You know, Stuart Sink's the first of many guys that are, you know, starting to come onto this tour, you know, that'll make a difference. And, you know, there's Heath Slocum was a four-time winner on the PGA Tour. He turns 50 on February 2nd. Chad Campbell, former PGA Tour winner. I think he won a major too, didn't he? And he turns 50 on May 31st. You know, and, you know, we know coming down the road at some point, the likelihood of Tiger Woods playing on this tour is much greater than it was 5 to 10 years ago. And I think a lot of what happens here is going to be, you know, bracing for that, because I think that'll change, you know, the profile of this tour, much like he did the PGA Tour when he arrived at the GMO back in 96. But, you know, I think the season kind of – the focal point of who's the guy is going to be Steve Stricker. I think there's other guys that are looking to not necessarily bounce back, but, you know, maybe check some things off the goal list in 24 that they weren't able to do. Jerry Kelly and Miguel Angel Jimenez, among them, neither golfer, you know, won in 23. I expect they're going to be hungry to do so in 24. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry plays well out of the gates, because he was playing well late in the year last year.
Yeah, I think the two biggest motivators when you're 56, 57 years old and you've had successful careers, the biggest factors in how well you're going to play from that point forward are A, motivation and B, health. And we know Jerry certainly doesn't lack for motivation. That's not a problem. He's had some health issues, some minor and major stuff that's bugged him the last few years, but he's always motivated. And I think Steve, you know, has been healthy since his health scare a couple years ago. And he also is motivated because he plays a lot with his daughters and his wife and his brother-in-law. And I think he likes to show off for them a little bit and show them he's still got it. And I think he gets more motivation from playing with his family, being motivated by them than he does maybe, an actual head-to-head competition with his peers. So they're both motivated. If Jerry's healthy, you know, they both got plenty of motivation to have good years, I think.
As we look at what's new on the PGA Tour Champions, Connor Stange, by the way, our friend on the PGA Tour media staff that is really the, you know, one of the mainstays on the Senior Tour, put together a great you know, look at what we can expect this year. There's one new event, the Simons Bank Championship, will be the second leg of the Schwab Cup playoffs in October, and that'll be held in Arkansas. The Kolegaard Classic, with tournament host Jerry Kelly, moves from the Omni Tucson National to La Paloma Country Club in Tucson this year, March 8th through the 10th. And then the sites for the majors, the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship comes back to the Midwest at Benton Harbor, Michigan, while the Senior Open goes from the Midwest out to the East Coast at Newport Country Club. And the Senior Open will be played at Carnoustie in Scotland. I would think that if, you know, short of St. Andrews, if Steve Stricker ever wanted to go overseas, Carnoustie to me has that, you know, that appeal. It's, you know, it's a regular Open Championship Rota course. It's the Vanderveld course where all heck broke loose and one of the great collapses in golf history. That might be one where he would be maybe tempted, but at the same time, you know, if he were to get into a PGA Tour event, it would be, what, the week before that at the John Deere, so maybe he won't go over and he'll try to win a PGA Tour event. Yeah, Stuart Sink almost did. I mean, you get Stuart Sink in contention, Padraig Harrington in contention, Steve Stricker in contention at a regular event, and, you know, all of a sudden you're gunning for guys that are going to become maybe the oldest ever to win on the tour.
Yeah, I personally feel that Steve Stricker's days of going over for the Open Championship or even the Senior Open, he doesn't play in that. I think they're pretty much done. Carnoustie would be awesome. I mean, it's where Ben Hogan played in his only British Open and won it 1953 when he had that great year. But I don't think we're going to see Steve across the pond much at this point, Rob. Just my gut hunch.
No, I would agree. I think he's going to, maybe take a little bit more time off from some of the regular senior events, especially as he gets closer to those opportunities that he gets, because some of them piggyback on the senior majors, you know, to be able to play on the Players Championship and the PGA Championship after winning the KitchenAid Senior PGA. So, It's fun. I mean, it's been fun watching the PGA Tour, but, you know, I haven't really paid close attention. It's, you know, still football season in Wisconsin. But it's always fun to watch golf when, you know, Stricker and Kelly are in the mix. And of course, I would expect, when we get back to the mainland, Mario Tiziani will be able to tee it up too. And you know, Mario's gotten better each of the 3 years that he's, you know, been on the senior tour. And, I would expect, you know, that trend to continue as well. And speaking of the extended Stricker Tiziani clan, we had in Sweet Spot today, Bobby Stricker is on a new tour. Not exactly the live golf of the women's game, Gary, but it is there's a team concept to it. It's the NXXT Tour. It's a Florida-based mini tour that has about maybe 10 teams of four or five golfers, I guess four golfers plus a captain. So small fields, but Bobby Stricker is on the Storm Golf Club, I guess they're calling it, captained by Paris Helsinki, and Taylor McCorkle of Oregon, who played her college golf at North Dakota State, is on the Angels Golf Club, captained by Megan Warinsky. They played their first event last week on, I guess what you'd call an executive course in Port Orange. The rest of them will be all on regulation size courses. So there was some low scoring. I thought it was a great, a nice way to kick that tour off, Gary, because we all know that, you know, even if you're playing on a par 66, you know, you still have to put the ball in the hole to get to shoot 63.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand the team concept of that, Rob. But, you know, Bobby needs a place to play. And she needs to work on her game and get back to where she wants to be, get back to the Epson Tour, which hopefully would lead to the LPGA at some point. But there are just so few opportunities for women, to professional women who aren't, haven't gotten to the Epson Tour. So this is another opportunity. It's a door that's open for her and for Taylor. And let's hope they take advantage of it.
So they're actually in the NXXT Women's Classic begins here on Monday as we record the podcast. And they have not, at least the local golfers have not gotten out on the course yet, I don't think. Although now I'm not even seeing her in here. So I'm not sure how that team concept is going to work if you decide to take a week off. But they've got a reduced field, it looks like, at Mission Inn and Howie in the Hills, Florida. And so we'll have to, again, try to figure out and decipher when she's playing, when she's not. I guess the good thing about this tour, Gary, too, is it lines up well with the Women's All-Pro Tour that's based out of Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, that begins when this tour ends in April. And that has affiliation with the Symetra Tour, I'm sorry, the Epson Tour, where the top, I believe, five golfers do get Epson Tour status for, in this case, it would be 2025, 2025, because it runs concurrently with the Epson Tour. But it's a process just like on the men's tour. And like you said, there just aren't a lot of places to play. So it was neat to see her in the field last week. And it'll be interesting to see how many of these events she plays going forward.
Yeah, and I heard you mention Mission Inn, Rob. Howie in the Hills, that's where the Golf Writers Championship is coming up this weekend.
No, really?
Yeah, we'll be at the El Campeon course and the other course in Howie in the Hills. Yeah, so that's cool.
Have you ever been there?
No, I have not seen it.
And that's Sunday, Monday, right?
That is Sunday, Monday, yep.
Okay.
Two-day championship.
So it's by far one of my favorite golf destinations in the country, simply because it's an amazing property. It's, you know, in the, you know, just about maybe 30, 45 minutes outside Orlando. And it's where my daughter's team played their the national championship, would have been in 2015 when she was a freshman. And so it was our first taste of Division III national championship golf. You got a taste of, you know, what that was like. But, you know, this was a course in Florida, Gary, that was hilly. And we stayed in what now would be called a Verbo up, I think it was on holes 4 and 13, went up the hill. And there were some nasty, nasty pins. At least one of the days, there was a nasty pin that where the ball kept coming back to the golfers. And, you know, enough water. It was a wonderful, I mean, they played El Campeon. And the other course, so the Horizon League plays their conference championships there. The men play El Campeon, and the women play Las Colinas. And so I haven't seen Las Colinas, but the whole thing is just really cool. You don't think of Florida as having a lot of elevation. It's a fairly flat state, but there's a reason it's Howie in the Hills. And I do encourage you, if you know, to stock up on your birdie juice and at the Howie Market. They've got a wall full of craft beer, at least. And this was in 2015, so that was even before the rage. And so I'm excited. You didn't tell me you're going to Howie in the Hills. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I have heard the scouting report that it's pretty hilly for Florida, Central Florida there. And so I'm looking forward to that. And we are playing both courses, El Campion one day and what's the other one? Las Colinas the other day.
Yep.
So
I
get to experience both. Yep.
And it was you might want to not fish for golf balls in the pond. I guess that goes without saying in the southeast part of the United States, because you might not get the end of that golf retreat back. So, because of the gators down there. So,
that's,
so yeah, no, yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
And that segues into the fact that you're going to the PGA merchandise show. We can't wait to, you know, especially now that I golf as much as I do, I golf with a lot of different people. I see all the different gadgets and things that people have while we, you know, Mike Davis mentioned he's got this new putter that one of the guys here in the community has. You know, I don't want to say how much it is, but it's a pretty expensive putter on the line of probably a driver. And, you know, I guess, you know, Scotty Cameron's aren't exactly inexpensive. You're going to find everything that you could possibly want at the golf show, at the PGA merchandise show. What are you most looking forward to down there?
You know, I just love sort of offbeat, unusual things. There's so many companies that come to this show. I mean, it's a huge show, Rob. It takes 2 days to see it all. It's at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando. And there's a demo day on Tuesday in which most of the major manufacturers unveil their new line of clubs for 2024. But I like some of the companies that a lot of them are fly by night. You know, they come 1 year and you don't see them the next year, but some of them have some really innovative little products that catch on. And that's kind of what I look for, is something that I think is going to, you know, catch the golfer's eye and maybe has a chance to really succeed and become a big product. And there's so much innovation now on the technology side of golf that I'll be interested in looking at that too. You know, simulators, home simulators. Yeah. Not that I'm going to be able to buy one, but there's a lot of stuff that's coming down the pike that's really interesting in terms of technology and golf.
Well, it's been fascinating here. You know, I mean, we all drive around the community in golf carts, so that brings in another dynamic of toys that you can have. From the you know, from the Bluetooth speakers to, you know, the cart coverings. My partner in the President's Cup is a guy from Appleton, Willie John, who I think it was at Ridgeway. He knows he's a good friend of Ryan Hellman, and Willie pulls up the other day and he's got a cart covering over his golf cart. I'm going, Willie, you're killing me here. You're from Wisconsin. If the word gets back that you were driving around, you know, Pebble Creek in Arizona in January with a cart covering on, you're not going to be welcome back in Wisconsin, especially with now that you guys are in your deep freeze. I mean, come on. But, you know, cart coverings are big down here, Gary.
I wouldn't have thought that to be true, Rob. But yeah, you see them in Wisconsin quite a bit, Rob. On rainy days, they'll bring out the cart coverings, and they're just talking about the plastic coverings that go over the cart, and they have a zipper, right? And you can kind of crawl into the driver's seat. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And the high end models, Gary, actually have doors. I mean, they're a pretty, you know, sturdy type of covering that, you know, once you get it on, you're not going to take it off until you know that it's going to stay above 50 or 60. So, you know, and these people are opening doors like we do at, you know, to go into the store. I mean, it's just every time they go off to go hit a golf ball, I have not succumbed to that yet. You know, the other thing, that the evolution of the golf tee has been, we've got guys down here that are playing all kinds of different tees. We got one of my golf partners has, the tee slips into basically a string. And when he hits it he had like a clown, like a plastic clown on the end of it. And when he hits it, then the clown goes flying. The tee is, you know, secure in there. And you know, because you've got this other, you know, you can find your tee. I think that's a little bit overboard, but you know, and yeah. Then you've got the different size tees that, you know, my bag is full of tees from the Legends Clubs when I was back last summer. You know, I grabbed a mitt full and I still have some, you know, it feels like the prongs of the tees make the ball behave differently, to the point where I almost, if I look down and I have a wooden tee in my hand with just the regular old, circumference of the top, the wood top, I'm not going to hit it because I feel like the golf ball is sitting down too low. It can't be that, really. It can't be. There can't be a difference, can there?
I think there is, Rob. I think a lot of independent testing has shown that those tees with the little prongs, there's a little bit less friction of the ball coming off of, you know, that little cup, the wooden cup, versus sitting up on the prongs. And less friction means, you know, a couple, three more yards. And, you know, does it help a guy like me? It probably doesn't make any difference at all. But, you know, there's a psychological maybe advantage to using a tee that if you think it's going to give you a few extra yards. And you're right. I try not to use wooden tees now myself because of that.
Well, it'll be really fun, and I think I know you're planning to write the five neatest things that you find on the floor. I'm guessing it's going to be hard to limit it to five, but you could do almost five a day, and when you go down there, I mean, describe for the listener. I mean, this is an expansive convention center. Can you hit everything in one day, and really digest what you're seeing?
You can if you power walk up and down the aisles, Rob. But if you want to really stop and look at look at products and pick things up and talk to the guys running the booths and stuff, then you can't do it all in one day. You can't really even do all in 2 days. That's why it's a 3 day show. When Friday rolls around, there aren't that many people there, but that's a good time to go because you'll get more one-on-one time with the people, with the product and vendors and manufacturers. So, you can get a lot done on Friday. On Wednesday, when the show opens in the Orange County Convention Center, it's a madhouse. You know, there's 20 or 30,000 people in there. There's a couple thousand booths and, spread over a couple hundred thousand square feet of exhibit space. So it's tough to see everything. It's nice if you have an idea of what you're looking for when you go in, but I just I like to wing it and just stumble across things. I think that's a fun way to do it too.
Well, we can't wait to see, and what you, encounter on the, showroom floor. We can't wait to hear how you do at the Golf Writers Association Championship. Are you in a certain flight for that?
Well, it's, the first round, believe it or not, we got the pairings, and I believe I'm paired with our good friend Chuck Garbedian and Gary Van Sickle. So they've got a
the pairings. That's the marquee group. That's a Hall of Fame group if I ever heard one.
It's the Cheesehead group. And then the second day will be paired by score. So I don't know what fight I'll be in, but I certainly won't be playing. I mean, Chuck Garbedian's a fine player. I think he's like a 2 handicap, and Van Sickle's like a 4. So I'm out of my league with those guys, but it'll be fun just playing around the golf with them at least that first day.
Well, if I don't see what time you tee off on Sunday, if I don't see a selfie,
I haven't seen the times yet. I just was informed of that pairing.
Okay,
it's a Sunday afternoon, so I think I think tee time starts at noon down in Florida.
Well, if I don't see a selfie with those guys and you by 11:55. I'm going to be very. I might actually have to ring your phone, and if it's in Garbedian's backswing, I'll never hear the end of it. So that'll be fun. Very quickly as we wrap up talking .golf here, a couple of things. Sweet Spot is on the website, and one of the things that Rob Jansen, our new esteemed leader here within the Wisconsin .golf family, detected was. Speaking of Gary Kelly, he made the Packer game yesterday. I didn't catch it. I saw it, when I called up the Sweet Spot this morning, and I had to listen hard, but there it was again.
Yeah, I didn't catch it either. But Jordan Love apparently has a Gary Kelly audible, and if you listen closely, turn up your sound, you can hear pretty clearly he's saying Gary Kelly, Gary Kelly, Gary Kelly, and then he threw a pass to Luke Musgrave, the rookie tight end, for a first down. But apparently this might go back to Aaron Rodgers, so we're going to have to do a little snooping on that because Rodgers and Kelly are good friends and played in the Pebble Beach National Pro-Am together a couple times. So this might predate Jordan Love, this audible, but we're going to do some snooping and try to find out the origin of Jerry Kelly, Jerry Kelly, Jerry Kelly.
I know we're both busy this week, but we might have to go through that Packer roster and see if anybody's in that WSGA database for the handicap too. And because, and I know Aaron Rodgers, I think, is getting an invite back to Pebble Beach. You know, the big news is that, with that being a designated event, the Pro-Am goes to 2 days instead of three and maybe four. And, I think they're only playing two courses, and there's only a handful of, there's like maybe a third of the celebrities. And he's on the list with Tom Brady and a few others, but it'll be interesting. I haven't heard much about the golfing prowess of any of these guys, so I'm not sure that we have quite the golf team assembled. But they sure can play football, as they showed against the Cowboys.
For sure, yeah. I was playing at Oneida Golf and Riding Club about 5 years ago with our friends Glenn Turk and Brian Weiss. And in the adjoining fairway, we saw Aaron Rodgers, Bakhtiari, and one other teammate. So they those guys get out and play golf. I think Bakhtiari might be in the WSBA handicap list. We'll have to look him up, Rob. I don't know if his days in Green Bay as a football player might be numbered, but I think he's one of, you know, the guys who plays golf from the Packers organization.
We also have welcomed some new names and faces to Wisconsin.golf. They're very familiar to many of our listeners who have looked at the Wisconsin Golfer magazine on the WSGA website over the years. Caitlin Moyer with a cool column today on the Par Aid ball washers sold. South Hills Country Club down in Franksville near Racine is no longer. It's going to be presumably sold. It's, you know, right on the interstate. I would expect at some point it'll be you know, either a shopping destination or a warehouse or a factory of some sort. But seeing all those Par Aid ball washers. You know, I've got a ball washer on the side of my cart. It's a heavy duty plastic. Seeing these, I may have to keep a lookout as courses close that have these. This would be awfully nice. You know, maybe in the garage I can you know at least have, you know, clean the golf balls out before I go out in the round, because sometimes I don't ever do it during the round.
Yeah, we know you use golf balls, so you got to keep them clean, Rob. I take those brand new balls right out of the sleeve, so hopefully they're clean when I get at them. But you know, I live 5 miles from South Hills, and I didn't even know it was closing. I guess effective September 30th it closed. I played it I think in August, and you know, I was one of probably 12 people on the course that day. But that was a cool column by Caitlin, and it is too bad that we're going to be losing another golf course in southeastern Wisconsin here.
Yeah, no, and I'm not sure if any of these are still available, but what a neat gift, and you know, part of history too for the, you know, a lot of these courses that have closed throughout Wisconsin have such a passionate loyal base of golfers who play at these courses. So I'm guessing that those went pretty quickly, courses are closing. I mean, even though we're in a golf boom, there's also a lot of these golf courses, Gary, are built in places that, you know, like the Silver Springs project in Menominee Falls that saw a reduction in the number of holes there, because of housing. There's a lot of places that need, you know, land for housing in these, you know, metropolitan areas. And so we might see a situation where courses close. And I would guess that, you know, it won't take just a Sand Valley or a Kohler to, you know, open the next golf course, start from scratch, new one. But we haven't seen one of those in a while.
No, and that, you're right, that real estate, especially on the I, you know, in Racine County and Kenosha County, which has been so built up with industrial, that land is worth so much money that you can't blame a guy for closing a golf course that was making, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 a year clearing revenue. I'm just guessing, because they didn't get a lot of play the last few years. And then, you know, being able to sell that land for millions and millions of dollars, it's a no-brainer. So you can't blame the guy who sold the golf course, but you still hate to see it go. I played South Hills back. The D'Amato Open, my family open, Rob, which has been going since 1983. The first place we played was South Hills in 1983. So 41 years ago.
That's kind of like
good memories there.
Wasn't North Shore the first site of the GMO? I mean, that's trivia. That's part of golf trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
We also have on the site, WPGA Junior, schedule was released last week. Oakwood Park, will step in for Dretzka Park as the, second, stop, for that tournament, for the WPGA Junior Championship, in June, opposite Brown Deer Park, while, Dretzka Park, wraps up a cart path improvement project. But, a lot of cool stuff on the junior schedule, and we outline it in the story, the, Wisconsin, junior cup matches are with Minnesota are going to be held at TPC Wisconsin. So TPC Wisconsin jumping in with a very significant and popular event that the juniors have to qualify to play to participate in, and that'll be held July 11th and 12th. This year, the Players Tour event at Black Wolf Running Kohler is the 2 days right before the Golf Coaches Association of Wisconsin College Showcase. It will be held at the Irish course at Whistling Straits. So you got Kohler and the Meadow Valley's course for 2 days, and then the Irish course. These kids are spoiled, Gary D. And the PGA Great Lakes Series will become a 54-hole event. That used to be the Morgan Stanley Junior Tour Championship until 2023. They changed it into the Great Lakes Series, invited kids from other states to compete to try to challenge the kids from Wisconsin. Had a pretty good field in year one at 36 holes, and they're going to go 54 this year, July 14th through the 16th at Washington County. And then Indiana's going to host a second leg in the series. That'll be a 36-hole event June 13th and 14th. The two states will trade exemptions to golfers to be able to play there. And Hawksview Golf Club down in Lake Geneva is going to be jumping aboard with a 18-hole par 3 championship for junior golfers of all ages, but particularly those that are 13 and older. They've always held a futures tour event for the younger kids on the WPGA junior schedule. But now they're going to do a second 18-hole par 3 championship, similar to what's run up at the 17-hole sandbox in at Sand Valley Golf Resort near Nakusa. And so two par 3 championships, Gary D, on the junior schedule. I love par 3 courses. And I always thought that Spring Creek north of Whitewater could host one. You know, they got the Island Green on one of their holes. There are so many cool short courses in the state. And the crew down at Hawksview does a wonderful job in terms of, being there for the junior programs in the Lake Geneva area. But, the par 3 championship will be pretty cool down there, too.
It only makes me wish I was 13 again, Rob.
I know.
Taking up the game, because
I know.
We always talk about it, the opportunities. I mean, I had no place to play when I was 14, 15 years old. There was the county parks had, their par 3 or their junior championships, and there was the state junior. And right when I was, I think, a junior in high school or a senior, the junior master came along. But now it's a different world.
128 events on the tentative schedule right now for the WPGA Junior Foundation. And we're talking, Milwaukee County Tours, the Madison Area Tours, South Central Tours. There's other, providers around the state that are doing junior golf programming. But the WPGA has done it longer and does it so, so well. Andy Landenberger, Jazz Tulda, Ed Swab, they do a wonderful job. And registration starts early April. I believe April 3rd is the date. And there's a lot to schedule for these kids. Gary, the only thing you have to schedule is a time to make sure that you've cleared any snow before you leave from Florida. I don't want to hear any tales of you leaving Dee Dee with the heavy lifting back there at the Caledonia headquarters.
Yeah, well, thankfully our next door neighbor has an ATV with a plow attached, and so he does the heavy lifting, and we're very Dee Dee always makes some chocolate chip cookies when he comes over and plows our driveway. So thankfully we have good neighbors. Rob, she'll be in good hands. And, it's up to 3 degrees now, Rob. I think I'm going to go lay out, get my shorts on and go lay out in the sun, put some suntan oil on, see how that goes.
Well, we'll look forward to a very windburn Gary D'Amato when we talk golf again around your competitive golf schedule next weekend, maybe on a Sunday night, so that we don't intrude on that. We don't intrude on your focus Monday morning, as you get ready to, go after whatever flight championship you're going to be in. Once you take down Garbedian and Van Sickle on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't want this podcast taking my 84 to an 89, Rob. We don't want to see that happen. So
Absolutely not.
I don't need any distractions. I need to be on my best game. Sorry.
Absolutely not. So if you guys are scoring that baby in Golf Genius, I want a code so I can follow the live scoring.
Okay, will do.
All right. And by the way, we are sponsor free right now here as we begin 2024. But if anybody that wants to shoot an email to Rob Jansen, that if your company wants to get involved in what we're doing at Wisconsin.golf, under the auspices of Gary and I are still on the staff. We are contributors to a website now run by the Wisconsin State Golf Association. And Rob Jansen is done a wonderful job of lining up sponsors and partners in all this. And you can be a partner on our podcast. And all you have to do is email Rob at rob@wsga.org. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. We'll let Gary get off to Florida, and we will talk golf again next week.